1 Samuel chapter 6, and just reading through from the verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 6. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented, because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eliezer his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coasts of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Amen. We'll end our reading there, just at the end of the verse 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let's just bow in prayer as we come to consider God's word. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we do pray now that thou wouldst draw very especially near to us this evening. We confess, Lord, that we need the help of the Holy Spirit now in the preaching of thy word. We just pray that thou wouldst be pleased to undertake, as we take thy precious word and proclaim the great truths that are contained within. We pray, Lord, that thy word would be a blessing to each one gathered here, and that we would go forward and do great exploits for thee. So continue with us now, Lord, we do ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We sang just a few moments ago a great hymn of Augustus Toplady, that hymn, A Sovereign Protector I Have. And the third and final verse reads, Kind author and ground of my hope, thee for my God I avow, my glad Ebenezer set up, and own thou hast helped me till now. I muse on the years that are past, wherein my defence thou hast proved, nor wilt thou relinquish at last a sinner so singly loved. In a number of weeks' time, there will be a national time of remembrance across our land. Indeed, It is good and proper to remember those times that God has delivered his people, delivered his land, furthered his cause, and blessed. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 7, we have a record of an occasion that Samuel set up a memorial to remember and to thank God for a great deliverance. We want to take just a few moments to consider this evening the subject of our glad Ebenezer. And our text, as we seek to do that, will be found in the verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. And it says there, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mishpat and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." The word Ebenezer, literally translated, simply means the stone of help. And Samuel here, in this location between Mishpat and Shen, raises a stone to commemorate the help of God to and with his people. As he looks back, as he stands and considers all that God has done, as he sees the grace and the help of God to the children of Israel, he can proclaim, as he says, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And very often in our lives as God's people, we ought to take time to look back and consider the great blessings and the great help that God has been to us. What an encouragement there is to the believer to recall those times that God has singly came in a very special way and helped each and every one. So often we can say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And let us be sure always to give thanks unto God for those times that he does draw near and give help. Here we have that very especially. Samuel, in raising this Ebenezer, it was not to glorify Samuel. It was not to glorify this particular area. It was not to create an idol or anything like that. It was solely to remember and to thank God for what he had done, has done and did do on this occasion. And we ought always to give thanks to God. Sometimes we can come with petitions, and we can come with requests, and oh, how we ought to make our requests known to God. But how important it is also for the child of God to give thanks in those times that God does draw near and bless. Because at the end of the day, God is sovereign, and he does what is best, and how we always ought to thank him for all that he has done. There are a number of lessons just for us to consider, and we want to really think overall about God's help and how God helped at this time. The stone of help, that word Ebenezer, our glad Ebenezer. And of course, our help cometh from the Lord. First of all, if we consider just here in the text, the timely provision of God's help. The timely provision of God's help. You see, Israel was in a state at this particular time. You may have noticed, and you may recall yourselves, that Israel at this time had no recollection or no trust, or really had forsaken the ways of God. You notice how whenever Samuel came to rebuke them, he told them to put away the false gods, to put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and to serve the Lord only. And you see, really, that can be traced back to the chapter 4 of the book of 1 Samuel. And there in the chapter 4, we have the recollection of the time of defeat to the Israelites. The Philistines were coming in, and you'll notice, it's interesting to notice in the chapter 4 in the verse 1, that the Philistines came to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And here we have the first mention of that word Ebenezer, that name Ebenezer. And it is indeed the exact same place that Samuel would later raise this Ebenezer stone. And therefore, our minds are cast back to this chapter. And we see that in this chapter, the Philistines come in, attack the Israelites, and get a victory. Indeed, the verse 2 of chapter 4 shows us that very clearly. And then whenever the people saw that the Philistines were winning, they went, of course, to Hophni and Phinehas to go and get the Ark of the Covenant and to bring the Ark into the battle. And they believed that if they were able to get the Ark and bring it into the battle, the Lord would, well, they believed that the Ark would deliver them. It's interesting, the language they use in the verse 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 4, they mention at the end of that verse that it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Indeed, it is sad to see that in this situation, the Israelites had forgotten to look unto God, but rather looked unto the object of the Ark at this time. And of course, the Ark was the great symbol of God's presence. And I think that it is a testament to the state of Israel at the time, to their spiritual state, because instead of looking to God, they looked to this material object, which was really, without God behind it, no use to them. And it was also very sad to read and to see that the two priests at that time, Hophni and Phinehas, who were with the ark, they were certainly not men who walked with God. They, of course, were wicked men. And they did not go and say, no, you're not taking the Ark of the Covenant. No, they in fact brought it with them. And it is perhaps a reflection upon our land even today, because we have here two men, Hophni and Phinehas, who were in high office, high ecclesiastical office, high church office, if you want to look on it like that. They were in the priestly office. And if we look across our land today, don't we see men standing in pulpits across the land who do not know and do not love the Lord God as Savior? Indeed, it is true that in this land, many stand and do not preach the gospel. Many stand and do not preach the whole counsel of God. Rather, their message is perhaps philosophical or something that warms or tingles the ears. But you know, we need to be sure that we always keep in our prayers and keep before God the need that He would fill our pulpits with men who fear and who know and who love the Lord as their Savior. Indeed, at this time, it could be said, and indeed was said of Israel, that the glory is departed. And perhaps in parts of our land today, it is true to say that the glory is departed. And you know, after this great failure, and after the battle was lost, because they went into battle with the ark, but of course the Philistines, they came, they attacked, and because God was not with them, because God was not with the Israelites, the Philistines had victory, and they took the ark. And after this great failure, it is sad to say that the children of Israel did not immediately turn and repent. Indeed, if we read in the chapter 7, we see that it took them 20 long years before there was a lamentation. If you read there in this 1 Samuel chapter 7 and the verse 2, and it came to pass when the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And you know, that was 20 years without God at the center and at the forefront of the thoughts and the minds of the children of Israel. That was 20 years without the observance of the Day of Atonement. For of course, the Ark was the central part of the Day of Atonement as the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. And here was 20 long years that did not take place. For the ark was gone. 20 years of cold-heartedness. 20 years of what we might term backsliddenness. And you know, there is among our congregations a great trouble and problem of people who are cold of heart. Yes, they're saved by the grace of God, but they are walking afar off. And you know, there is that picture here of the children of Israel that for 20 years with cold heartedness, worshipping false gods, having those idols that came before God. And in our land, there is that great problem as well today of those that are not walking with the Lord as they once did. But you know, yes, there is Israel's past here, but we mentioned that we want to consider the timely help of God, because God came and God moved. Yes, the situation looked dire. Yes, the situation looked like it was awful. For 20 years, the ark was gone. The glory was departed. But now, we see a change, because at the end of the verse 2, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Yes, after these long 20 years, there was now a lamenting after the Lord. God was starting to move. In His time and in His way, there was a timely provision of help, because God moved and He convicted the children of Israel. He convicted those who had been walking afar off of their sin and of their need to come back and come again into fellowship with Him. Israel was faithful to the Lord, and whenever God started to move, Samuel was there, and Samuel had the message to proclaim. He had the gospel to come forth and tell them. And you know, God always has His remnant, and He always has those who are there to proclaim the gospel of truth. And while it may seem in all the scenes of time around us that things are going against God, that our country and our land seems to be moving away from God and the things of God and the things of His word, there is still the great truth that God has His people, and He has those who will stand and maintain the gospel truths. And here I believe that we have that in Samuel, because he tells them that they need to come back, to repent, to put away the sin that had beset them, and to come again unto the Lord. And you know, perhaps tonight you're in that situation where the prayer meeting has not been that place of great blessing that it once was. Perhaps your prayer life has not been what it once was. Perhaps your time spent privately with God is not what it once was. Perhaps there is that coldness of heart. Well then, dear friend, take the words of Samuel. He spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. You can do that tonight. You can come and return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away those things, those sins that did beset you. But yes, there was the help of God here in starting to move among the children of Israel. But there was a further help from God, because God was going to deliver them from the great opposition. And you know, it's interesting when you read through the passage as we did, and you see the order of the events, because God started to move among God's people. People came back to the Lord. There was great revival and awakening in the land and amongst the children of Israel. But what was going to happen next? The enemy came in. The enemy came along. And you know, often after times of great blessing, the devil will come very, very quickly. Indeed, doesn't Peter remind us of that over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse number 8, that verse that I have no doubt is so familiar to us all. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And you know, there is the truth that when God is at work, when God gives great blessing to His people, when there is that great reviving of the land, perhaps even if we just think of it on our own scale, when there is that salvation of a soul, when one comes to Christ, when one's young in the faith, that's often when the devil tries to come in the hardest and say, but you're not saved, but how could you be saved? But oh, there's great assurance in God's precious word, because the Bible tells us, them that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So take great comfort in that tonight. And take great warning as well, dear child of God, to be prepared. When you see great blessing in God's work, be prepared, because the devil will most certainly come as that roaring lion seeking to devour. And make no mistake, the devil's a strong foe. The Philistines were a strong foe when you compared them to the Israelites. And the devil surely is a strong foe. Over in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 5, we're reminded of that, because it says there, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And really that just means like a flood is completely surrounds, completely engulfs. When the enemy comes in like that, what does that verse go on to say? The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. What encouragement there is there for the believer. What warning there is there for the believer as well, though, that yes, the enemy does come in like the flood. But who do we turn to? The Spirit of the Lord shall come in, or shall lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord, we look to the Lord in our times of trouble, in our times when the enemy comes in. And perhaps it is the scenario in your life that the enemy seems to be coming in like a flood, coming in from every direction, every angle. Well then, look to the Lord tonight, dear friend, dear brother, sister in Christ. Look to the Lord. And he will most certainly help. Yes, there is, of course, times of difficulty. We can never deny that. There is those times of trial, those times of difficulty for the believer. There is those times when the devil comes to attack. But we have the Lord our God on our side. And the battle is the Lord's. Indeed, it was a timely provision, because if God had not moved, if God had not came in and stepped in, what would have happened to the children of Israel? What would have happened to the nation of Israel if God had not stepped in? If he had not revived them, if he had not brought them back to himself, if he had not been there to discomfort and to distract and to thunder against the Philistines and to have them run off, what would have happened to the Israelites? Well, we can't say. But perhaps it's there for us to think. If the Lord had not been on our side, where would we be? Indeed, we trust in God and his sovereign grace to help us, to protect us, and to be there with us. In his sovereign grace and mercy, he steps in at the right time. He steps in at his time. Yes, we may look at this and we may say, but it was 20 years from the children of Israel departed from the Lord. It was 20 years without the Lord's presence, without the glory of the Lord. But you know, it was God's timing. Because even in those times of lowness in the land, even in those times of dearth, God still had his purpose, and God still used that ultimately for his glory. And what encouragement we can take from that. Over in Psalm 46, and in the verse number 1, and this of course is that psalm that's so often called Luther's psalm, because he took it and he took every word of it, and he really buried it in his heart, and he trusted upon it all. And of course, we've had Reformation Sunday just gone by. Psalm 46, the verse 1, what are we reminded there? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. In the time that we need him, in the time that is right, in his sovereign grace and power and control, he'll be there at that time. We sang it, of course, a sovereign protector I have. Sovereign in every way, sovereign in timing, sovereign in his power, and all-powerful and able to do whatever is needed in that time. So yes, we have the timely provision of God's help. We also have the enduring power of God's help shown to us here in our text this evening. We've already very briefly thought of our text, but let us just perhaps look at it in a little more detail now, and particularly the last number of words. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The word hitherto very simply means right to this point. To this point, or if you have a margin in your Bible, it may say until now. And you know, even in the losses, even in that 20 years, and in the defeat that had happened before at the exact same location that Samuel was now, in all of that, God still had his plan and his purpose. He was going to work all things together for good. And the fact that we can say hitherto, the fact that Samuel could stand there and say hitherto, to this exact point, reminds us that God's power, God's help, it is always there. It is enduring. And we say that, and I think we can say that with great confidence, because when we look at the verse, we see that hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We see the person of the help there, because we see that it is the Lord. And you'll notice that it is the Lord in capital letters. And when you see the name of the Lord in capital letters, that is, of course, the reference to the covenant name of God. The reference in the original, that denotes where in the original it was the covenant name of the Lord. And we can be sure, we can be certain that God keeps his promises, or he keeps his covenant. He is the covenant-keeping God. You know, God had made a covenant with Abraham, and God was never going to break that covenant. And here we have an evidence of that, because God protected the children of Israel. God defeated the Philistines. He kept his people. And you know, whenever we think of the covenant-keeping God, surely our minds are drawn and our attention goes to the great covenant of grace that's laid out for us in the Scriptures. When we think of how Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, how they broke that covenant of works by doing that, and how all mankind fell with Adam in his transgression. But God, who is rich in mercy, provided the covenant of grace, provided the way of redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it warms my heart, it thrills my soul when I think of the covenant of grace. What a tremendous thing it is. Don't we have that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? And you know, our salvation is all of God. It is all of grace. And God, who saves us, will keep us. He is the unchanging God. He is the covenant-keeping God. And as Samuel stood here saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, he was saying, hitherto hath the covenant-keeping God helped us and brought us here and kept us thus far. And as the unchanging covenant-keeping God who has brought us safe thus far, God will bring us safely home. He will bring us safely in the future. He will help us, he will stay with us, and he will keep us in the future. Because, of course, we know by his very nature, God is unchangeable. Doesn't the Shorter Catechism teach us that? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And what great blessing that is for the child of God tonight to see here that God's help endures because God is unchanging. When God helped the children of Israel here in the hour of their greatest need, when the enemy was about to come in and completely destroy them, God stood in. God helped in his sovereign grace. He came in at his time, as we've thought of already, and he delivered them. He helped them. We have the same God on our side today. Those of us who are saved, those of us who know Christ as our Savior, who have been redeemed, we have the great blessing of knowing that that same God is our God. What an encouragement. to the dear child of God that is. Yes, we can say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, for the child of God, the one who has trusted in Christ for salvation, the troubles and trials of this life are not the be-all and end-all. Because one day, that glorious day, that wondrous day, will be glorified, brought home, be with our Savior for all eternity. And that is all done by the unchanging, covenant-keeping God that will carry us through. Oh, it's certainly enduring power. Doesn't it remind us over in the book of Romans? Romans chapter 8, a tremendous chapter in God's Word, sometimes one that people have difficulty with, or people can make difficult, perhaps is the way to put it. But over in Romans chapter 8, that tremendous chapter, and the verses 38 and 39, we read those tremendous words, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was certain of this enduring help. He was certain that this God who had helped the children of Israel in the past would help him now. He could say in Acts 26, verse 22, having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. How that's true of us. Having obtained the help of God, we continue. We continue to this point now, and we can keep on going, knowing that we have God on our side. But finally, and time is gone, but finally, notice with me this evening, the essential powerhouse of God's help. Yes, we have thought of the timely provision of God's help. We have thought of the enduring power of God's help. But let us think of the essential powerhouse of God's help. The verse tells us, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And if you look at the whole context of it, you'll remember reading down through it, God revived his people. And when the enemy was coming in, what did the children of Israel do? The verse 8 and the verse 9 really bring it to the fore of 1 Samuel chapter 7. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And there we have the great powerhouse of God's help. Very simply, the place of prayer. Isn't that what we're here to do tonight? We're here to come unto the Lord our God. If we want the help of God, we must come to him in his way, in his appointed way. You remember the children of Israel, when they took the ark, they brought it into battle. That was not God's way. They lost the battle, they lost the ark, the glory of the Lord departed. But now, here, when the children of Israel came and did things God's way, came in prayer unto him. And you notice then that they came to Samuel, that faithful servant of God. They asked him to come and to pray. And then notice what Samuel did in the verse 9. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. There was there God's way, because there was the taking of that sucking lamb. There was the making of a sacrifice. And of course, we know that without the remission, or without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And you see, here they came to God. They confessed their sin. They turned from their sin. There was the blood atonement for their sin. And they prayed, and God answered their prayer. God heard their prayer. God answered their prayer. It's one of the great Puritan commentators, I think, I was reading when I was preparing this. He mentioned it it's as left as if a ladder. The sweet smell of the sacrifice went up, and the prayer went up, and God's help came down. And isn't that what we are here to do tonight? To come before the Lord our God. And if you're saved tonight, you're trusting in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Yes, here we have the Old Testament type of what was to come, the sacrifice of the Lamb. But now we look back to the sacrifice of Christ, of the finished work of the cross. We depend upon that and on that alone, and we come to cry unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ, our interceder, the one who sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty in heaven. Samuel came and prayed on behalf of the nation. And you know, we mentioned at the start that when we look around our nation today, we see a land that is lost in its sin. And there are many out there who can't pray. But as God's people, redeemed by His grace, we can pray. And how we ought to cry unto God for our land and for our nation and for our community. Oh, didn't Spurgeon call the place of prayer, the prayer meeting, the powerhouse of the church? Yes, it's the powerhouse of the church. It's the powerhouse of God's blessing. It's God's appointed way whereby we come unto Him asking for His help and for His blessing. Amen. And we know God blesses His word, and we trust and pray that He has blessed it to your heart this evening. We'll get down just to that time of prayer now. And let us, each one, come unto the throne of grace. It is where we obtain mercy. And what a great privilege we have to come unto God. And just remember, of course, those things that have been announced already tonight. Those things that are coming up. The youth fellowship, the prayer meetings, the Lord's Day services. Everything that is concerned with the work here. And you know yourselves, those who need your prayers, and do bring them before the Lord. And we have a certainty that we have an advocate with the Father. What privilege we have to come to the mercy seat. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God, for the Scriptures of truth. And we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy help this evening, for Thy grace and mercy unto us. And we just pray that we would know in a real way the presence of the Lord tonight, as we seek to come unto Thy throne of grace. We pray for each and every one, Lord. Give a great power of prayer. Give great liberty in prayer, Lord, we ask. May we all come unto God tonight, pouring out our hearts, pouring out our petitions unto Thee, the one who can answer, the one who hears our prayers, the one who will answer our prayers in His sovereign grace and for His glory. We just pray, O Lord, that tonight we would know in a true way and in a real way the presence of God and the blessing of God as we meet around Thy throne of grace. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We can say that right to this point, God hath helped us. We thank Thee for Thy many blessings and mercies. O Lord, so often we neglect to count our blessings. We pray that we would constantly be thinking of the things that God has done for us. And when we see all that Christ has done, when we see all that God has done, what glory and what blessing it is to our hearts and souls. Lord, we pray that we would know Thy help now. Undertake for each one who would pray audibly and inaudibly. And just be with us. Be one of our number now, we ask. In Jesus' precious name.